to be with you today, and we look forward to interacting with you on this program called Let the Bible Speak. And it is kind of a unique program that you can interact with us. You can ask us a question, and we will go to the Bible for the answers. Now, in programs like this, sometimes you can get the impression that, oh, those guys are experts. Those guys are scholars. Well, we're really not. We're just people who love the Lord, who love His Word, and have studied it for some period of time and have become acquainted with it and familiar with it, and to the point where we can help others answer questions. And sometimes we have to look up the verses ourselves and then share that with you. So we want you to know that this is a program that is just about us talking and sharing and looking into God's Word and being benefited by it. You can participate in this program with your questions and your calls. You can call the station here. The number is 308-9564, 308-9564. And if you prefer not to call but would rather text, your phone can do that, then the text number is 725-9283. Again, that is 725-9283. So we hope that you will feel emboldened to participate in this program, to help us out, to ask some Bible questions. Just we can have a good time studying the Bible for the next 90 minutes. And that is a wonderful use of our time together to be able to study. So we hope you participate in our study yet today.
The numbers are again are 308-9564. That is the voice line. You can call in right now. If you want your question answered on today's program, go ahead and call 308-9564, and we'll go to the Bible. And by the way, we don't apologize for going to the Bible, nor for the name of this program, which is Let the Bible Speak. And the reason is because you don't want to hear what we have to say, because it will not get you anywhere. Even if we just tell you the truth and you do not check it out to make certain, well, that's not going to help you either, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And so you want to know what the Bible says, and you want to know whether we are speaking the truth. And so you go to the Bible for yourself. Be sure to have pencil, paper in hand to be able to write these things down so that you might be able to see it and know that that's what God says. And so please, if we do not give you book, chapter, and verse, we also want you to rebuke us. You can call up and say, you didn't give us the book, chapter, and verse on that, and we would thank you for that, because we really do not want you to take our word for anything. When we stand before God, it'll be only what His Word says that we're going to be judged by. So now's your chance to call in your question, 308-9564, or you can text us with your cell phone at 725-9283. You set the topic, you set the theme, but it is God that gives the answer, and He's the one that we must listen to. So let's get ready for the answers as we go to the Bible for letting the Bible speak. Our first, second caller, actually, if you want to go ahead and call right now, we have one line available, 308-9564. I believe we have Robert standing by, ready to go live on the air. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How can we help you?
Thank you, and I appreciate y'all having this program. I'm a frequent listener.
Good. Thank you.
I have two questions, and they're separate type of questions, but the first question is there anywhere in the Bible about division? And what I'm talking about really is, like, if you give,
Wait a minute, you're breaking up on us. Say it again. We heard the word division. Are you there? Hello, Robert?
How about our speakers?
No, speaker's phone. Okay. Yeah. Robert, are you there? Okay, if you can still hear us, go ahead and call back, and we'll try to get you through. Something about division, and he's got another question. He'll try to call back when he gets in range. Well, while he is trying to get back in, let me go ahead and answer the first question. Does the Bible talk about society? And how are they Chuck, how are they meaning this word society? Did they say? Oh, okay. That was Robert. Okay. And so society. I don't know. He said that wouldn't be right. So, Robert, if you would, call back if you can, and we will get you through and be able to ask your questions. And as far as division, as far as what the Bible says about that, there's a lot the Bible says about that. There is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, where God, through Paul, says, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you in the name of Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so that's what God desires. He wants us to speak the same thing, for us to all follow the same rule, the same authority, and that's the authority of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So he's got it all. We've got to listen to him. We got to measure by his set of rules and be able to make correction by his direction so that we can all speak the same thing. The problem is, now how many churches are there out there teaching different things? And how does God look at that? Well, he says, I beseech, I beg, I plead with you, depending on your translation there. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 10. And one other passage you ought to be able to or should read about this is Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. There he beckons, pleads with his Father in prayer for us, is that we all speak the same thing, that there be no that we be one as he Father, he and the Father are one, that we should all be one in him, that we should all be speaking the same thing, completely united together with him. And thus the world will know that Jesus is real and that God loves man. Go ahead and read verses 20 through 23. Again, hopefully that's helpful. Robert, he seemed to get out of the range here. So call back if you want to call in that question more. Again, the number is 308-9564. 308-9564, and the text line is 725-9283.
You know, when we were talking about division and the churches teaching different things, it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, Paul tells the church at Corinth that he taught the same thing everywhere in every church. So we know that it was possible. And therefore, we know how unity was obtained because it was the same teaching. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said in verse 21, he says, test all things, hold fast what is good. So when we talk about let the Bible speak, that's the name of the program, and that's what we're going to do with your questions. We're going to go and look at what the Bible says. And so your responsibility is to test all things and to hold fast that which is good. We have another example in Acts 17, verse 11, about the noble Bereans who searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not the things that Paul said were so. So that's what we invite you to do. In fact, that's what we want you to do. Because not only is it a matter of your salvation, that you make sure that your questions, that you base your life on the answers to those questions are based on the Word of God, but also that we give the kind of information that is only found in the Scriptures. And so we just want you to feel like today that we're all just seekers. We're all just searching God's truth, all looking for the answers to what God says. And when we find that answer, man, our search is done, and this is what the Lord would have us to do, and that's what everybody ought to do. If it's what the Lord said, then not only should I do it, not only should Ricky do it, Larry and Chuck, everybody should do it, because that indeed is the Lord's truth. So we invite you to participate in the program. Give us a call, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283.
Yes, we have a text call from the last three digits of 919. The question is it scriptural to pray to Jesus? Well, that's a really good question, and I know a lot of people, I've heard people wonder about this as well. And so when you see this answer, you'll find it in Acts chapter 7 and verse 59. Here we see the only example that I know of in the Bible where the prayer is worded to Jesus. And this one was worded by Stephen as he was being stoned to death. It brings out in verse 59 that they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And so there we can see a prayer that was worded to Jesus. Now, Jesus, when he was here, he taught his disciples to pray to the Father, and that's where most prayers obviously are addressed today. But certainly it is not unscriptural to pray to Jesus as well. Jesus is functioning. He has functioned in the past as our Savior. He is Lord. He is King. He is Messiah. He is on his throne as the King. We are in his kingdom. So we certainly can understand that it's not wrong because he is Lord and King of Kings. And so we should understand the Father and Jesus are one in John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. And so when we address one, we address them all because they function together, because they are deity, they are God. And so, again, that's Acts chapter 7 and verse 59. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that very, very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. If you have a question, call right now. There's one line available, 308-9564. Time for us to take our first break already. We want you to know what we're about to tell you is about a correspondence course, which is absolutely free. You can study it in the convenience of your home anytime you choose, 24/7, if you're in the middle of the night, in the morning, whenever's the best time. And when you study things out of God's Word for yourself, would you be surprised to know that you get 10 times more out of it than if you just listen to us on the radio? Because we are just people, and we are not God. And we may be serving Him, sowing His seed, but until you see it for yourself, you're not going to have this. It's not going to have the same effect on you than if you see these things for yourself. And so take the opportunity to study it. Go ahead and get this course in the mail to you. You can do that simply by calling 553-5157. That's the line to call to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. It's absolutely free. Don't miss out on that. And if you've already gotten it, go ahead and continue to call in your questions. But if you haven't got it, here's some more information about the correspondence course. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know that we're serious about that. You will never be asked for a donation. You will never be asked for a handout or a contribution of any kind. It is our honor to share with you the treasure that is within God's Word, and it is absolutely free. And that I mentioned that it's something that you will get a lot more out of in your own personal study than you would even just listening to us. But it is our honor to share it with you. And, hey, you may discover a vital truth that you've never seen before. And some of this that we share with you is not taught in mainstream churches today. And so, thus, if you don't know what it is in God's Word, it may prevent you from your heavenly home one day. So don't put your eternity at risk. Let's search for the truth that we might be able to show ourselves approved unto God. And so please go ahead and call for the free Bible correspondence course and see the answers, see the things for yourself. Call 553-5157. And we'll be glad to send that to you. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call. The voice line is 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a question from Julia. And Julia, we really appreciate the fact that you have taken your time out today and expressed interest in God's Word and called us up. And we want to thank you for that. Julia's question is it scriptural for a divorced couple to remarry? So for the answer to that, let's go to Matthew chapter 19, because Jesus deals with that particular situation. As he's talking to the Jews about marriage and divorce, they ask him, well, why did Moses give a reason for a divorce? And And they asked that because Jesus had said that he goes back to Genesis chapter 2 and says that man shall leave his mother and father, be joined to his flesh, and they shall be, being to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's in verse 6 of Matthew 19. And then that precipitates a question from them. They say, well, why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce? And that is a passage in Deuteronomy. So then he answers and said to them in verse 8, because of the hardness of your hearts, he permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And here's what Jesus says, verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So the only reason that Jesus gives for a remarriage, a divorce and a remarriage, is sexual immorality on the behalf of the person's mate. Then they can marry another without committing adultery. And then another consequence is that whoever marries her who is put away, they just divorce, then that person who marries is also is committing adultery. And so Jesus says that it's not scriptural to just divorce, except it be in the case of fornication. There's another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about people who are in a marriage relationship and maybe they've hit in some rocky road and things are not working out so well. And so Paul's advice by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 12 is, but to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Then verse 15 says, but if the unbelieving departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. And the verse I was looking for, I've already passed it, so I want to go back up and pick that up. And that's in verse 10. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. So in this case, in 1 Corinthians 7, it would be scriptural for a person to remarry the person that they had divorced or departed from initially. And that would be a proper thing to do. But to divorce and marry somebody else, if it was not for the cause of fornication or spiritual immorality, then that is not the part, not the will of the Lord. So, Julie, we appreciate your question. A lot of people out there probably have the similar question. We get that question a lot, and it's an important question to ask. And so let's not trade some kind of benefits of a physical relationship here and take a risk on losing our soul for an eternity. So it's very important to let the Lord's will be our will. So we appreciate so much that question. You got a question like Julia or a different topic altogether, 308-9564 is the line to call here at the station. You can text us at 725-9283. And when you have your question in, we will all turn together. In fact, we invite you to turn together with us and read what we're reading, again, to make sure that we are using that verse in context and doing it accurately. We want you to be a part of this program to examine and test all things and hold fast that which is good.
Again, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. You set the topic, you set the theme, but God gives the answers. He's the one that we want to listen to, not to man, not even to us. We want to just go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Let God speak through His Word, and thus we will be blessed by what He says alone. 308-9564, both lines are available right now so you can get your question in. We have this question being texted in from the last four digits of 7448. Their question or statement is, I heard a prophetess and a church member said they saw God walking around and sitting in their church. But the Bible said, if you saw God, you would die. Well, to the texter, I would certainly agree with you that we cannot look on the Lord face to face. Moses was told that in Exodus, and it's mentioned several times, that that is just not the case. But now let's just even consider the idea, is that even possible today? For someone to be a prophet or prophetess, is that possible? And is God revealing new information to us today? And would God single out a person today to appear to and not someone else? Well, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, and this was even while the Bible was being revealed in the first century, it says in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God is no shower or respecter of persons. He does not show partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted in him. That shows us how we are to be acceptable in his sight. There will not be some person singled out for a special revelation or a special significant visitation from God. He will not single out someone and show partiality to one person and not to another, because that would actually be showing his partiality or respecter of that person, and thus that would make it almost impossible to even judge. Because if something is said over in this church is one thing different from another church, then there's no standard. Well, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. He wrote, had the word of God revealed. It was written down in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, through the knowledge of him he has given all things that pertain to life and godliness. In 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. And so it is so complete that we have what in God's word is, that there is a curse associated with anybody coming up with anything new. In Galatians 1, verse 8, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So, my friend, if you were a part of a church or you've seen a church where they say that they're getting further revelation that is not contained in God's word, I would run, not walk, away from that, because those individuals that say that are going to be cursed. Anathema is the word. And it was so important. Go ahead and read the next verse. That, again, that's Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. You know what this reminds me of is in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 18, where it says, let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished, knit together by joints and ligaments, grows into the increase which is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of this world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? And goes on and gives warnings about that, as in verse 23, self-imposed religion, false humility, neglect of the body. And so just read that, verses 18 through the end of the chapter of Colossians chapter 2. And so that's a danger, and there's a lot of churches today that are scaring people into submission rather than seeking after just the truth of God's word. So thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. Time for our next break. We want you to know that while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. And we're going to tell you about this Bible correspondence course. And hopefully you'll be able to see the answers in the Bible for yourself. Go ahead and call 553-5157. And you can enroll in that course absolutely free. It is free. So don't miss out on this. And by the way, most churches today, you will not hear the truth that this course will reveal because it will be outside the box that they must operate in. What am I talking about? Well, let's get into the Word and see those things for ourselves. That number, 553-5157, for the free course. It will be sent to you absolutely free. Now, if you have a question, call us. We're ready for your questions, 308-9564.
Well, welcome back to our program. We're glad that you are participating today. We've had several questions already, both people who have called in and people who have texted. So you know that if you're listening out there, that both avenues are possible and are working. We even had a live call in, a person that didn't work because of his cell phone reception, I'm thinking. And so, Robert, if you're out there, still out there, we would like to hear from you again. And so we want to have an open invitation to you to come and call us again. So the number here at the station is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. And don't forget, a very important number. That number is 553-5157, and that's for signing up for the Bible Correspondence Course. Want you to be really thinking about that throughout this program and make that call so that you yourself can learn and know the Bible. You can have the faith that comes from hearing God's Word, and you will be blessed because of that.
Ricky? You know, some things they'll learn in the course is some of the doctrines or the teachings of God's Word that actually do not fall within the limitations of the church's doctrines. There are those that are restricted from teaching on certain subjects simply because it doesn't fit within their system of faith that we are defined by. And so will we be judged by God on those things? Absolutely. And so let's not be caught off guard or with blinders on. That's exactly what they did with mules when they plowed the field, is they would put blinders on them to keep them from being distracted from more from that which the fellow that was directing them wanted them to go to. And that's what many times churches do. They will put blinders on you so that you do not see everything that's going on. You need to see what God says for certain. And so let's take those blinders off that the god of this world, the devil, has put on, and just see the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that's the way justice can be really dished out, and that we can actually find ourselves being made just by the blood of the Lamb as He wants to be able to give us that redemption. And so please call 553-5157 for that course, and that will show you some things that you may have never seen before. We have a texter texting in this question. is from the last three digits, 237. And the question is, I don't want to say my name, but I have accepted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And I am 51 years old. And so I'm going to wait and read the rest of that question in just a moment. But I just want to ask Steve there for a second. Steve, what about this concept of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior? Who's the one in charge of that when we are saying, well, okay, I will accept the Lord Jesus? What does that sound like to you?
When I want to talk about this person who asked the question, I thought, you know, I really appreciate the fact that he's concerned about the other part of this question you're going to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I would trust and hope that he is also concerned about the first part of the thing he said about asking Jesus into his heart. And so I want to challenge you a little bit and to say, where in the Bible was that ever done? If someone who ever told you to do that, did they give you a Bible verse that gave you the authority to, this is the way to access God?
You know, when I've asked people that question before, usually they turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10.
And so that verse, let's go ahead and go to that verse and look at that and see what that tells us and see if that says what most people think it says.
Let me read that phrase again. It says, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Okay.
Okay. So here's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it gives an explanation of that verse when it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's an interesting preposition, unto salvation. Gives one pause to think, well, maybe that didn't give me my salvation, but it was unto my salvation.
Now, well, wait a minute. Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Didn't the demons believe and tremble, and didn't they actually confess Jesus as Lord?
You know, I think there's several passages where they, when Jesus would come to them, and they would say, oh, Lord Jesus, why have you come before our time?
Yeah, and they, didn't one of them come, at least one of them called him the Messiah.
Yes.
So that's a confession.
Yeah.
So they believed and they confessed. So did that save the demons just because they believed and confessed?
Man, I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't either. There's nothing to indicate.
You know,
that.
James 2, 19 says, the devils believe and also tremble.
Yeah, yeah. So we would encourage you to even consider that part of your question as something that you might want to investigate a little bit further, because that phrase, that terminology, just doing those two things is not all there is to becoming saved or letting him become your Savior. There's more to it than that, and you'll discover that in the Bible Correspondence Course. If you want to enroll, 553-5157. But don't call yet. Let me get to the rest of your question. He says, I am 51 years old, and I have never communed before. Will the Lord punish me for that? Well, I would direct you to the Bible for the answer, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And whenever we read God's word, we need to always ask ourselves, is this a command? Is this something that was just suggested that I do? Or is this something that actually God is commanding me to do? And so as we read this passage, let's do that. And thus you'll be able to find the answer to your question. Will God hold this against me? And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, well, let me just read verse 24. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is taken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in verse 25, he says, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So I would encourage, is he suggesting that this is something that we can do, or is he telling us, do this? Okay, yeah, I agree. This is a command. So God commands us to do that. Now, what's interesting is there's a lot of churches that do it, but they do not do it like they do it in the Bible. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we see how often they did it. Let me read verse 25 to you. It says, this is the cup of the covenant. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. He didn't say how often it was. He just said, as often. Well, how often was it? Acts 20 and verse 7, you'll find the answer. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. And so there we can see that's how often they came together to do that. So thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate that very much. We got a couple of calls standing by, and so hopefully that will be helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. The caller's name is Robert. Okay, Robert, you're back with us. How can we help you?
Yes, but I want to know something else now.
Okay.
But you're talking about Jesus talking, and I heard you say something about if we were to lay eyes on him, that we would die. Now is, did not Jesus admit the lady at the well that he was the Messiah? exist. God does not now see from today. Now I know that Messiah has already come. Because of the bad connection, I don't know if you've got that question or not. I'm going to turn my phone off and just listen to your response.
I'm a little confused about your question. Your question is, why didn't she die? Because she saw him?
No, I'm just wanting to know now if he admitted to her that he was the Messiah at the lady at the well.
Oh, the answer to that is absolutely. He says, the one that speaks to you am he. Yeah. When she says, I know the Messiah, when he comes and then he responds by saying, him that speaks to you am he. In other words, he says, yes, I am the Messiah.
Okay, if this is documented, then why do not we today already know that the Messiah is God?
Well, that's a good question, because not only does he say it there, he says it several places that he is the Messiah. He doesn't just come right out and make a public announcement about it, but he lets people know that he's Lord, that he is God. When he forgives sin, they come to that conclusion and they try to kill him because of it. And from the very beginning in his hometown, when he mentions that or shows that by scripture, they tried to throw him off a cliff. So there,
wow.
Yeah, there was that was his hometown in Nazareth. So go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but where was King Herod at this time?
Well, King Herod was all over the place. He was in Caesarea many times. Sometimes he was in Jerusalem. He had castles and residences in both places. Matter of fact, had several. He had them all over Israel.
So that's documented in biblical scriptures. Again, my question is, why do certain groups still look for the Messiah? They don't think that he has come.
Well, you're going to have to ask them that. It's certainly probably because they do not follow the Bible. They're not looking at the Bible for the answers. They're looking elsewhere for the answers.
Okay, I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay, yeah, you're breaking up on us again. So thank you, Robert,
thank you so much, Robert,
for your call. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. Steve?
I just wanted to add some things to the person who was 51 years old and maybe have him read some other passages, Mark 16, 15 through 16, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, 1 Peter 3, 21. And those verses would give him some other things to think about, belief and baptism, salvation is Mark 16, Acts 2, 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And so those passages will be good for him to think about, and others as well, to see whether or not asking Jesus into my heart is what Jesus told his disciples to preach or not.
Yes.
And that will be a good test.
We kind of left them hanging there, didn't we?
That's so, all right.
Thank you very much. We want you to know the whole truth, and hopefully you're turning to those verses and seeing it for yourselves. Time for us to have our next break. The number is 308-9564. Both lines are busy right now, so wait just a moment, and then you can call. Okay, now there's one line available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Thanks for coming back and being with us. We appreciate so much the opportunity to be with you today, and we are honored by the fact that you are participating in this program. Probably many more are listening than are actually calling in, and we appreciate both levels of participation in this study. And one of the things we were talking about before the break was concerning what does the Bible say about how to become a Christian or how to be saved. And you just heard the comments about that with the encouragement to take the Bible correspondence course. And so this is a good case in point about why that correspondence course can be so invaluable, because you can see what the Bible says. I mean, there's a pretty good study in that correspondence course about how one becomes a child of God, how they have their sins taken away. And now, to add to that, just write maybe some verses down that you can look at a different time. Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 13 are very, very important, because here's Philip preaching. the things concerning the kingdom of God, and then when men both believed, they were baptized, and Simon himself also believed. And while you're in Acts chapter 8, a good summary, actually a pretty complete analysis of how one becomes a Christian is illustrated in the example of Philip preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, and that's in starts in verse 26 and goes all the way through verse 39. And so that's a good one to read, because if you're asking, I want to do what they did. I want to do what the Lord told them to preach. I want to do what the apostle said to do to become a Christian. So those passages in Acts chapter 8, it's a good place to start with that. And the Ethiopian eunuch, it's almost a start to finish kind of explanation about here he was searching, here was reading the scriptures, and he doesn't understand it. And so Philip enlightens him, and then the eunuch says, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" So that will be just a good illustration of what the Bible says about how to become a Christian. So if you've got some other questions that you have on your mind, maybe you want some clarification on those things that we just got through talking about, we just invite you to call us, because this is an important thing, right? Of all the things, of all the questions that you need to know before you pass from this life, that is the question. What must I do to be saved? So give us a call here, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to us.
We have this caller calling in this question, follow-up to former comments. This is, if we go to a denominational church, are we worshiping another God? Do we leave Jesus if we do this? Well, that's a really good question, and let's just go ask Jesus that question. Well, his answer is recorded already, as you might know, in John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. He says, "Neither I pray for these alone," that is the 12 whom he had chosen, "but also for them that shall believe on me through their word," well, that would be us, "that they all may be one." Notice it didn't say that they all may be divided into denominations. It says that they all may be one. Well, how much one does God want us to be? Well, as you, Father, are in me, he says. Remember, he's praying. He says that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So that's how much he wants us to be one, as Jesus and the Father are one. Can you even just imagine Jesus going saying, "Okay, Dad, I'm not going to go and do this because, you know, I want to do it this way." No. Jesus, of course, would never, ever. They were one. They were completely united. Then what gives us the right to do that? Yeah, that's right. Nothing does from him. Man may give you the right. The world may give you the right. And, of course, the devil would just be thrilled to death for us to do that. So what God are they worshiping? Oh, they may use the same names for him, but if they're not following him, Jesus says, "Why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say?" Or John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So do we love Jesus if we do this? Mm-hmm. Yep, maybe not. Do we leave Jesus if we do this? Well, that answer is in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. Matter of fact, let's go back to verse 6. He says, "I marvel that you are so soon turning away from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," which is not another, but there are some that want to trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. And if we are an angel from heaven, so Paul didn't have a right, angel from heaven doesn't have the right, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So if it's not in God's word, if it's new, it's not true. If it's from a prophetess or a pastor or a parent, then it is not true. If it's not in God's word, don't you believe it. Let's find all the answers in God's word, because that's where we can find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, And that's where we can stay in the grace of Christ. So we've got to answer to God alone one day. So does that help you? That's John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. We sure appreciate your question very much. And thank you so much for asking that important question. Again, the number is 308-9564, and the text number is
725-9283. So please join us here at the program. We have a question here about deacons, and that, of course, the place to start with that is 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, because the question particularly has to do with deacons and having one wife. And 1 Timothy 3 verse 12 says that deacons, let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. So the question has to do with that, and it is that one at a time or what? That is, what does one wife mean for a deacon? And certainly, one wife. And so there are a couple scenarios of how one might have had more than one. It could be that they had a wife that died. And Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4 says, if a person's mate dies, they are free to marry again, and they still have one wife. And so, yeah, one at a time, that would apply there. The other scenario is a passage we talked about at the first of the program, and that's Matthew 19, verses 1 through 9, about could a deacon be divorced? Could he just decide, you know, my wife and I aren't getting along, I'm going to divorce and marry somebody else with no fornication taking place in the relationship whatsoever? Well, then that person would be living in adultery. And so he would have more than one wife, and he would not be qualified as a deacon because he would have two wives and not one wife. And so hopefully those scenarios will help answer that question. One wife at a time for sure, and make sure that that second wife is because he had a right to marry in the first place.
But, you know, even then he'd have two wives. Oh, that's my first wife, you know, they might say. And so I always thought about it that way, and especially when different words are used.
Yeah.
I tell you, we live in a broken society today, and homes are just not like what God planned for them to be, and it's very difficult to deal with those situations. And so our heart goes out for you if you happen to be part of something like that. It's not pretty, it's not comfortable, and it creates all kind of situations that you just wouldn't have if the homes were built by God's design. And God intended one wife, one man, for one woman for life. And when the difficult times come, you're supposed to work those things out, if at all possible. And again, of course, the marital infidelity is addressed in Matthew 19. But it doesn't say you have to do that. You can reconcile if at all possible.
Right. And we need to be prepared to do the hard thing.
Yes,
you know,
right.
If that doesn't work out.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate that very much. And hopefully that has been helpful to you. Again, we want you to know that you can call right now. The lines are all available, 308-9564. The text line is always available, which is 725-9283. I'm going to quickly deal with a couple of questions here. Here's one from Mike. Mike asks, why do women teach and preach over men when the Word says they shouldn't? Well, Mike is referring to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and then also in the church parameter, or in the worship service, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 37. And you're exactly right, Mike. That's what the Bible says. So if you're going to get the answer to this question, that is, why do they do that? Well, it's not from God's word that can be sanctioned. You're going to have to go to them to find out why they would do that. But we've got to understand God is the one that's going to sort it out one day. It's best for us to sort it out before we meet him face-to-face till then. And so I appreciate your concern about that, but you probably ought to be talking to those that would want to do such as that instead of listening to the whole counsel of God and the whole truth. Thanks, Mike, so much for your question. I have another question right quick I want to deal with. Text question says, who or what is abandon, Greek name, at Apollyon, some kind of head servant, angel of Satan? Well, I noticed that you can find something like that on the internet as you look, and it's dealing with Revelation 1 and verse 9, and so it's talking in reference to the in symbolic language and in reference to the trumpet. Whenever you approach the book of Revelation, you'll find a system of sevens, and usually numbers 1 through 6, whatever they are, those are judgments that God is pointing out. And then number 7 is always a victory as far as what is going on there. And so here you see one of the judgment calls. And please note that whenever we use one something in the book of Revelation, it comes under the banner of don't you dare add or take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, because if you do, I'm going to add to the plagues that are written in this book. So we have to tread carefully with this book, and we should respect it in the way that it was revealed, which means it was written in signs. And in Revelation 1 and verse 1, it says he sent and signified it unto his angel, or by his angel to his servant John, and signified, S-I-G-N. So I'm not going to build some kind of definitive answer based upon just one verse of the book of Revelation, because it is a picture book. You've got to look at the whole picture. Here's what the whole book picture looks like. Here it is. We're going to win. That's the picture. And that was the purpose of this book, to let people know we're going to win. Just be faithful, even if it means death. Thank you so much. That was from the last three digits of 113 and their phone number. Again, the number is 308-9564. Steve, you got the next question?
Well, I think we got up on a break here.
We better
go with that. And so please listen to this encouragement about the Bible Correspondence Course and think seriously. Is that something I could benefit from? Do I want to make the law of God my meditation day and night? So please listen.
We are back live now. Do you want to know the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? I hope so, because it will be truth that will judge us one day. Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we better listen to him now to prepare for the day when we will meet him face to face on that judgment day. Let's prepare now, because we are just one heartbeat away. Are you ready? Let's find what God has to say. Explore the Word of God through the Correspondence Course. Why not enroll right now? 553-5157. That's area code 843-553-5157. Get the course in the mail to you this week. It is absolutely free, and you will find the truth that will set you free in God's Word, in the Bible. Please, don't just read the course and answer the questions. Don't be just a checkoff person. Explore and search for the truth that can only be found in the Bible alone. And by the way, if you just want to get the whole thing to you, you can go to our website, which is BibleAlone.com. How about that? That's www.BibleAlone.com. You can download the course there if you want. Plus, there's several other resources there on our website, such as what the Bible says about many of these questions we're asking, or that you're asking today. So go to our website, www.BibleAlone.com, and get the truth on the way to your heart so that you can be prepared for that day when we leave this body behind. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564. We're going to shorten our answers or be more expedient in answering them, because we have a pile of questions here. So, but keep them coming, 308-9564. Steve?
Yeah, we have a question from Malcolm, and Malcolm says, please elaborate on how God works in heaven, but the devil walks around on earth with us. We were going to be expedient, so I'll try to be expedient with this question. Well, the way God works from heaven, you know, there are several ways. The voice from heaven, for instance, this is my beloved Son, whom well pleased, hear ye him. That's in Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 8. He sent Jesus, of course. He also sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, told the apostles that when he promised them the Holy Spirit in verse 26 of John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So the picture you get, God in heaven, and he is orchestrating things. He is sending people. He is doing blessings. And then in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So that's another example of how God works from heaven. How Satan works? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that he is the prince of the power of the air, and that's verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says that he is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But then one more passage that I think is very important, that's Acts 17, verse 24, where it says that God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, and being such, he is going to be able to cast the devil and his angels into the lake of fire and brimstone on that final day. And so again, as Ricky pointed out with the book of Revelation, we're the victors. God's going to win, and as we're on his side, then we become and shares in that victory as well. So God works through his agents, so does Satan, and so we need to be aware that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That's 1 John 4 and verse 4. Ricky?
All right. Very good. Thank you for the question. We sure appreciate all of you that are listening and calling in your questions today. It is very encouraging to know that so many of y'all are seeking after the truth and the whole truth, and we hope and pray this has been a blessing to you. We have a caller from the last three digits of 482 wanting to know, what does the Bible say about denomination? As you know, I texted you back, nothing. The Bible says nothing about it as far as accommodating it or agreeing with it. However, the Bible does say a lot about the opposite of that, and that is being one. John 17 in Jesus' prayer, his prayer for us that we all be of the same mind, same judgment, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, and many other places. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. And so there's a lot about saying being united, but there is never, ever any hint that God wants his people to be denominated, divided into other kinds of groups, especially if they're teaching different things. And so that was condemned mightily in God's word, and people will be judged to be part of something like that. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate that. We have also Grace calling in this question. Her question is it okay for a Christian to drink occasionally or socially? Well, Grace, you'll find the answer to that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. He says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentiousness, lust, and here's your words, drunkenness, revelries, and drinking parties. There's three different levels of drinking intoxicants that God talks about that was not pleasing to him. And he says, an abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So there's three different words there to show the three different kinds or levels or activities associated with drinking intoxicants. Not just drinking, it would be any kind of intoxicants involved in that. Thank you, Grace. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. We appreciate that very, very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. Steve, next question.
Yeah, we have a question from Leon, and Leon asks, if there is women pastors, are those part of false denominations? Well, let's turn that question around. Jesus did that a lot. He answered a question with a question. And so if women pastors are not in the Bible, can they be a part of his church? If they are not following the will of God, then can they be obeying God? If they are going against the will of God, would God approve of such? So there's all kinds of ways we can look at that answer. that question rather, and ask it with questions and turn that thing around and to bring out to the light that since those things are not taught in the Bible, then the only conclusion you can come to is that it's false, it's not correct, and it has become a teaching or a tradition of men. And that kind of gets into an answer of a question we're going to look at here in a little bit as well. And so thank you, Leon, for that question. Sometimes there's some tough questions that we need to be asking, and just depending upon what the Lord said, regardless of what anybody else would have us say about it. So give us a call here, 308-9564, text 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, we had a caller say, repeat the answer on the question to from the text number ending with 113, and that was the question about abandon and apollyon in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13. And so when you see here in the passage or in God's Word that the book of Revelation, verse 1, shows that the book of Revelation is written in signs. It is a picture book. It is different than any other book in the New Testament. And so when you look and you see these signs, they're to be taken as pictures, not as an individual textual study as far as how I'm supposed to serve the Lord, as in the rest of the New Testament. It says that in verse 1, he sent and signified it unto his servant, or by an angel to his servant John. The end of the book gives us a warning. It says, if anybody adds to the words of the prophecy of this book, and then the next verse is, if anybody add or takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, there's curses associated with it. So we need to be careful about this. The picture that the book of Revelation gives his people is, we're going to win. That's the picture. That's the message of this book. Now, there's a lot of other things in there as well, but the verse under consideration here is actually in the middle of one of these pictures being painted, and we would do damage to ourselves and possibly to the name of Christ if we just try to pick out one verse and say, what does that mean when it's in the middle of a picture? So thank you so much. Again, that's Revelation 1 and verse 1, and also Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. It's time for us to take our last break. Wow, we're just through. Man, we want you to know the Bible Correspondence Course. You can enroll in that right now. Here's your last time to do this. And so don't miss out on getting this in the mail to you, 553-5157. Don't miss out on this. You will discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before. Studying for yourself will build the kind of faith that will come from God's Word. Not, don't listen to us. Listen to God in His Word. Discover the wow. And there's a lot of it. There's a lot of treasure, a lot of treasure in God's Word. If you've never noticed that, then you are truly missing out. Just let this course be a tool to help you to get there and get your heart into the middle of God's Word. Why not enroll in this course now? 553-5157. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know that we are honored that you have joined us in today's broadcast and that you have questions that are searching for the truth. And we hope that you will not just end here by listening to us, but that you will allow us to send you the treasure that is in God's Word to give you a tool to help you to mine that out of the Bible. And there truly is a treasure there that will never cease to amaze you, no matter how long you study. So please don't miss out on this. Begin this journey of an eternity by digging into God's Word to discover the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You will be blessed more than you ever would have imagined. All of us here at the station would say amen to that. And it is something that you are missing out on if you have not been able to see how vital it is to study God's Word. Again, that number for the course is 553-5157. Don't miss out on that, and you will be blessed more than you can imagine. And now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. We have Chuck, a man by the name of Chuck, calling in this question. Steve, his question is, how can a pastor teach the Word if he has instructions from a different denomination that would teach something different than God's Word? So What about this, Steve?
That would be a problem. He'd be forced to do one or the other. He couldn't do both and be true to both. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. You know, the parallel to that that I see in the New Testament that Jesus dealt with is in Matthew 15. And the scribes and Pharisees came to him, and they asked, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they don't wash their hands when they eat? Well, let's just substitute tradition of elders for creed books. Now, if you don't know that your group has got a creed book, just Google your church's name and creed book, and it'll come up. And so let's just insert creed book in there. Why do your disciples transgress the creed book of our denomination? Well, Jesus answered in verse 3, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your creed book? And so that's an important concept to think about. Now, Jesus goes on to say in verse 7 of Matthew 15, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the creeds of men, or the commandments of men, or the traditions of men. Don't you see what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying that a lot of people are going to worship him in vain because they teach as doctrines of God, the commandments of men, or their creeds, or what they've learned in seminary, or what they've learned in convention, or all those kinds of things. Now, what is the risk of that? That is, what warp does that put a person in who is responsible for teaching the Word of God? Well, you've got to do one or the other. And you can see the pressure that is put upon the apostles of Jesus by these scribes and Pharisees. What we need to do is get away from the influence of the scribes and Pharisees and the creed books and the seminaries and all those kinds of things, and go back to the teachings of Jesus, go back to the Bible. What happens when somebody follows the creeds of men or the traditions of men? Well, Jesus goes on to talk about that in verse 13. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted, uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. The blind lead the blind. Both will fall into the ditch. So there's a lot of plants out there that the Lord has not planted, and they will be uprooted. They have been planted not by the seed of God, but by the traditions of men, by the creeds of men, by things that have been handed down from generation to generation, but not from God. And so you can see that it's very, very important. You know, when you go to judgment, would you want to be asked, Ricky, your worship was vain. Why did you worship me in vain?
You know, and the truth is probably what he'd say is, you were not worshiping me. You were worshiping something else that man had come up with. Because if you worshiped me, you'd worship me in spirit and truth. And if it's not according to truth, you weren't worshiping me.
That's important. Important thing for you to think about. Isn't it a blessing to think about that now? Because when we face the Lord in judgment, it will be too late. Now, while we're looking at Matthew 15, 8 and 9, go read John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, which is the exact opposite of what was happening in Matthew 15, 8 and 9. And that is the directions. That is the way we ought to worship God. We must worship God that way. He is God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And that's John chapter 4 and verse 24. So don't we owe it to ourselves? Don't we owe it to our God to give him the worship that he has asked for, to follow his teaching and his word only? And when that's the case, then we're going to be free from man-made teachings and man-made denominations.
Yeah, we sure appreciate your question so very much, and that is very important that we just find the truth and sell it not. Let's go to the Bible and stand with God. Thank you. Thank you. You're to be commended for desiring to know what God says. We have another caller calling in this question. It says, there are Christians around the world being tortured, dragged out of their homes and during the night, but the Bible tells us not to fear. How can they not fear while living under these conditions? Well, that's a really good question, and unfortunately, your statements there are true. It is going on. There is a very clear, organized effort to destroy Christianity in the world. It is outside this country, and don't be surprised if we find it in our country before you know it. But to answer your question, not to neglect that, you'll find the answer in a couple of places. One, when the apostles were beaten for the cause of Christ, they considered it an occasion to rejoice that they were able to suffer as the Lord did. And then also in Acts chapter 21 and verse 13, Paul was, it was prophesied that he was going to suffer. And he says in verse 13, he says, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Christ. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. And so there are many verses, and you might wonder, why? How is it? How is it that, why is this possible? Well, you'll find the answer to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. Verse 17, it says, for our light affliction, this is 2 Corinthians 4, 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That's the answer, my friend. Thank you for reminding us of that. It doesn't matter what can happen here. We've got to focus on eternity. That's where it's all at. That's the real place that we are headed. And this life is totally incidental. It is just but for a moment. Again, the number is 308-9564. We got to hurry.
Yes, we have a question from Chuck. He said, who came up with restrictions on teaching the Bible? Well, man did. Satan did, as the instruments of him to forbid those things. One quick illustration of that, in Acts chapter 4, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, the Jewish Supreme Court, when Peter and John were preaching about Jesus, they flatly told them, you don't do that anymore. Just quit doing that. And so here was the reply, here was the statement they made and the reply of Peter and John. Verse 18, Acts 4. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So we must always be true to God. We must let God be true and every man be a liar. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that question so much.
We have a caller calling in this question. Yeshur is described as having feet of brass. Why has his name changed to Jesus Christ, and why is he depicted as Caucasian? Well, first of all, the word Caucasian is not in the Bible. But if you mean white, that wouldn't be a good way to describe him as well. If you were to say black, you couldn't describe him that way as well, because he was a Jew. And Jew does not really fit in either one of those classifications. And so there's no answer for that in God's word. Of course, he was a Jew. As far as Yeshur or Joshua, that is the Hebrew name for one of his names. Jesus had hundreds of names in the Bible. And for us to just say that one is the only one that we can use, we can call him Jehovah. We can call him the Lord. Master, the beginning, the end, the Alpha and the Omega, there's literally hundreds of ways and titles, meaningful ways to describe Jesus and that Jesus is described in the Bible. The reason that we use the word Jesus is because that is the way he describes himself. That was what he was told to be named in the New Testament. Yes, Joshua could be the way that we could say that as well. But many times that would be confusing if we use that because there's so many Joshuas in the Bible. And or Yeshur, if we want to try to go back to the old, depends on what language we want to talk. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right now I'm trying my best to talk English. And sometimes I do a terrible job at that. And so we want to speak with clarity to where there's no confusion, and we'll be able to find the truth, and you'll be able to understand it as we relate to what God's Word says. And so the Lord is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And so that's what we want to make certain as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, it says, let everything be done decently and in order, the last verse of the chapter. And so that's what we want. We want everything to be understood and there be no confusion whatsoever. So there's your answers. Again, thank you so much for your question. And again, it depends on what language that you want to be talking about or use to refer to Jesus. There's a way to say that in every language on the planet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are just about totally out of time. We want to say thank you so much. Do you have another question?
No, I don't.
Okay, we called up, it looks like. And so we want to thank you so much for your decision to spend this hour and a half with us. We are honored that you have such a hunger and thirst for righteousness. You are hopefully been, you have been filled today as we go to His Word to find all those answers. Again, if you've not enrolled in the correspondence course, do yourself a favor. Enroll in that. Get that in the mail to you this week. You have nothing to lose. We even send it to you absolutely free. The number is 553-5157. And we are honored to be able to be in your ear, and that you hopefully these things that you have learned today are sinking into your heart as you look and see those things directly in God's Word. You're to be commended for your interest in knowing the truth. I just noticed I've got a question that has not been answered. I'm sorry, I had it upside down. Patricia, I'll do my best, Patricia. Patricia, give us overall information concerning the second coming of Christ. Patricia, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, and go ahead and read through the rest of the chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, is that 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through the end of the chapter. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, start with verse 10 and read through the end of the chapter there, and you'll see what God says about it. It's not what man is telling you today, but you'll be able to see it in the Bible very clearly. Thank you, Patricia, for your question. Thanks to all of you that have listened today. Be sure to tune in again next week as we look into God's Word for all the treacherous answers in God's Word as we let the Bible speak.